Hello and welcome to Twin Flames, the Great Spiritual Awakening podcast, where you can listen to real-life stories from those who answered the call of divine love. I'm your host, Dennis. I'm a certified ascension coach with Twin Flames Universe. I've been on my twin flame journey for several years now, and I'm living in union with my twin flame thanks to the teachings of union at twinflamesuniverse.com. For every episode of this podcast, I am joined by special guests who are on various stages of the twin flame journey. Some of them are newer, while others have already achieved a union or even harmonious twin flame union. So every week you get a close-up glance into their personal twin flame journey, and you get to really find out what happened on their journey. How did they overcome the biggest challenges, and what did they do to get to where they are today and have real and permanent success on the twin flame journey? Enjoy, and always remember, only love is real and love never fails. For today, I am very happy to have you with me, Twin Flames in Union, Andy and Mickey. Hello, guys. Hello. How are you? How are you doing today?
Fine.
Doing good. Thank you. Very happy to be here.
I'm very happy to have you. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to hearing more about your story, because there's quite a lot of things I don't know about, especially how you guys met and came to Twin Flames Universe, because you've been in Union for a couple of years now. And you actually came together before finding Twin Flames Universe. So you kind of started your Twin Flame journey with Twin Flames Universe as a couple, which is a very cool thing. So I'm wondering, when and how did you guys actually meet?
Okay. So we thought of starting this story from the very beginning. So, because everything like led perfectly to how we met, and it was perfectly aligned. Do you want to go with your part first?
No.
Okay. So for me, everything started because first of all, we live in Albania. Mm-hmm. Nick is from Albania, and I'm from Kosovo. Mm-hmm. And I was living in Kosovo in my hometown prison, and everything started when I was at a workshop, at a film workshop specifically. And at that time, it was the summer when I finished high school, and I was looking to apply for a university. Mm-hmm. At first, I had in mind to apply for a psychology university, and I was looking forward to that and all the things about that, reading books and stuff. And that led me to apply there finally. I applied and failed the test, didn't get approved on the faculty. So then in that workshop I was talking about in the beginning, I met a friend from Albania, from where Nick is from, and we really connected. And at that time he was kind of my best friend, and we were sharing a lot of mutual stuff about what we liked and whatnot. And at that workshop also I had someone from my hometown as well that studied in Tirana in Albania, where I live now. And he told me, because I told him that I didn't get approved for the faculty, and he was like, why don't you look applying to the film, since you were already doing film, why don't you look to apply to the film directing university in Albania? And I was like, oh, that sounds really good. And so I was focusing on that, and I was like, perfect. It was perfectly aligned because I already made friends from there in that workshop. Mm-hmm. So I already had someone in that city. And an important detail here is that I remember when I was a child, one time with my we came to this city where I live now with my parents, and I was so astonished. Something like felt really home about this city. It was not the city itself, but it was like, oh, I would like to live here in the future. And I was very small at that time. I remember it very clearly. And I always had that in my mind from that time, that I always had this city as an option to live in the future back then. Then I went to apply to the university here, and I got approved, and I started the university here, and I started hanging around like with a lot of new friends that I made from that friend back then in a workshop. And in that area of friendship connections, it was also Nikki. Mm. It was like that white social environment. Yeah. So the first time that I met Nikki was through that friend that I was in a workshop. We went to a bar, a tattoo bar called Iron Brush, and we were actually at that time it was like my teen years, and we were like a lot into parties, raves, this kind of stuff.
And I was working in this bar, just to be there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nikki was working there, and anyway I went there with my friends. And Nikki went to talk to him because they knew each other. And we didn't say anything to each other, actually. Didn't even say hi. But the way and the way she was staring at me, it was like, it was really weird, kind of, because it was like, I knew her, but she also knew me, but we were looking into each other like
we were like, we never spoke to each other, who are you?
Yeah, but it was a really like spontaneous and really strange look, but really familiar at the same time, you know? Right. Anyway, that was the first time we met.
Mm-hmm.
And now just to move forward to how everything happened, also, one important detail that I would like to mention here is that when before, I would like to talk a bit about how I manifested Nikki inside of me, like the spiritual side.
Please, absolutely do. I would have asked that anyway. That would have been my next question.
Okay. Yeah, so when I was like at my early teens and like 14 years, I had a lot of feelings about a lot of girls that I really thought I loved, and I really loved them at the time with all of my heart. And I constantly had this pattern where I was being cheated on. And that felt like really heartbreaking from time, like it was, because it was a pattern, it was like, why is this happening to me? So, but I always felt this, had this belief that real love exists, you know, because I knew from where I knew it was because when I got, it hurt really, really much when I got cheated on, and it wouldn't hurt that much if I wouldn't care, if I wouldn't believe that real love exists, because I believed it that much, so passionately, it really hurt. And yeah, so I always imagined my dream wife, dream partner. I always, it wasn't like really physical, like, but it was a feeling, more like a feeling that how I would like to live and share my life with my partner. And it was all about the feeling. It wasn't particularly about how the physical looks, you know, even though I had an imagination of that as well, but it was more about the feeling. Anyway, now getting back to the story, so how we got to be together. So from that eye contact that we had in that bar in Iron Brush, we never spoke to each other again until a rave that we both went, not together, but separately, but we saw each other there. And we had another like really awkward eye contact there. Like because I want to be fully honest now, at that time I was into psychedelic drugs, and
both were,
yeah, And we were at the time in our life that we were both experiencing this hippie spiritual awakening stuff that is actually just that from in that at that time we thought there was real spirituality because we were not spiritually developed and didn't understand it quite clearly. Anyway, that was the second time we had like the eye contact with Nikki. And it was this time it was like much longer and it was really more, even more spontaneous because we didn't have like the third person that we met through, but it was just like, I was with my friends, she was with her friends and we just saw each other and we just stood up, like just looking at each other. It was really, it was really interesting from my side because I never felt that much peace before by seeing someone because usually with my soulmates in the past I would have a lot of anxiety seeing someone I had a crush on or I liked. I wasn't like really comfortable. I would get nervous. Even though at that time I didn't know that I liked Nikki consciously, but subconsciously there was this crush thing, but not consciously. Yeah, I wasn't consciously aware that I like this girl. Anyway, that was the second time that we had that eye contact. Now everything led to I went to the lake one day and with a friend that I had at that time. He was a friend of mine that had a crush on Nikki, liked Nikki a lot. Mm-hmm. And Nikki came with us to the lake. And also at that time, the girl who thought that I was her twin flame was there as well. So there was this situation. My friend who is my
soulmate,
was
my soulmate.
Was Nikki's soulmate, was with me, and the girl that thought I was her twin flame was with Nikki, and four of us went to the lake. So, I was in psychedelics there as well, and they were kind of all looking after me, so to say. And the thing is that the girl that thought that I was her twin flame was trying to communicate to me in different ways. For example, there was a specific moment, there were two dogs and she was trying like to communicate to me through dogs and stuff and it wasn't working. And she got really upset and she just left. Yeah. She left. And it was just me, my friend, and Nikki afterwards. Mm-hmm. And we stopped at a spot, and I was just seeking everything all in and just in my own vibe. And Nikki and her friend who liked Nikki were dancing, singing, like doing a lot of stuff together. And I was looking at them. Because I consciously wasn't aware that I liked Nikki, you know, I didn't like feel like jealousy or these kind of things that you may feel at the beginning of the journey when you see your twin flame with someone else.
If that part is not healed.
Yeah. I didn't feel anything like that. But the thing I felt, it was like, whoa, like there is something about this girl, like just the way she. Her like cartoonish expressive behavior, the way she reacts and the way she sings and the way she like her authenticity, it was really drawn into me. And I thought that Nikki and my friend were matching a lot as a couple when I was not seeing that actually Nikki was my twin flame there, because I was seeing Nikki and not him particularly, but I in my mind I was
so
thinking
was
yeah in my mind I was thinking that they were looking matchy together when I was seeing only myself, Nikki, there.
Yeah, me, and me. Like you were seeing yourself with me.
Yeah, I was seeing exactly. And that was the first awareness that I got that she may be my twin flame, even though this is an important detail. At that time, I didn't know about twin flames. I mean, I knew that about this concept that there may be someone who is meant to be your with you, like you may be the same soul, and this kind of concept, I kind of heard that, but I wasn't into that. I never like studied or something about that, anything, because also it was like the beginning steps of me getting into spirituality, as I mentioned before. Yeah, I was like an amateur at that time. And anyway, we left from the lake and we decided to meet later at the night, at the same day. We met there and Nikki was talking to me and talking to him, and I was like just chilling and everything. And then Nikki left and I was with my friend, and I was like, oh, you two really are matchy. You go together. I see how Nikki likes you. And my friend told me, are you kidding me? Because he was really upset. That's why we were talking. Are you kidding me? Like, did you not see how she was looking at you? I know her, because he knew her from a lot of years ago. I just met her. And he was like telling me, I know her completely. The way she was looking at you, it was different. I know that look. I was like, I didn't notice that. I didn't recognize that. I still wasn't believing him that Nikki was looking at me like that, because I still wasn't fully conscious about that. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we started with Nikki to talk on Messenger, Facebook, and we started dating, not officially, but
we wanted to be together, and we just mm-hmm. wanted to hang out, and we were like inseparable.
Yeah, we were like
out every day. Yeah, and we spent like the whole day together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and this is an important detail when it comes to twin flames, is that you can't be lovers if you are not friends first.
True.
And
yeah.
that's the main part of our lives where we saw this, and when we actually realized this, that because we actually liked each other low-key, but we never consciously like kind of accepted that. We were just enjoying it, to be with each other so much, like
yeah.
friends, and
yeah. you don't put a label on it. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It was just a vibe, you know, just being together,
right.
and having fun and doing what we liked, and just and since at that time we were like hanging out with this social environment that was very toxic,
mm-hmm.
With drugs and a lot of stuff, we slowly started to like disengage with them. We started more hanging out together,
yeah, yeah.
and that social environment, like people from there, like started to have a resentment towards us, because we were only
staying
with each other, and we saw that it was not a healthy environment for us to stay in,
right.
and we slowly started like to disengage from them. And that was like how we met and how we started. Now how we realized that we were twin flames. One night, Nikki called me to meet with her in the museum, near the museum outside.
That is near my parents' house.
Yeah, and we were talking about some things. I don't know what we were specifically talking about, but I was expressing my feelings about something. I was upset about something, I think, and you told me, you are completely like me.
Right.
Do you remember that moment when you told me like you are just the same like me.
And I knew about twin flames at this point because, but I will share my part. The whole thing connects.
Okay, I guess we can go now because I can proceed later.
So for me, it started with being having like a false twin flame experience when I was very young, like around 15, and I like my heart was broken and everything, and I thought that this person was me, but in a way that was not very mature because I didn't know myself so much to know that to make like the difference between a false twin flame and a twin flame. And I thought that that person was my twin flame for years, and the thing was that I was feeling like I have this love and I want this love and there's this love that I'm going for. And I was searching that in every relationship that I had because I wanted that. And I knew that if it's inside of me, then it must be true. And I was seeing that because I was very spiritual, even like at a young age. And I used to check nature and how things worked and how harmonious nature is, and I was like, well, it should be the same for people. It means that if I have this thing inside of me that tells me that true love exists, then it should be true. And I didn't want to give that up, so I actually followed it through, and until like I was 18, I had my last relationship with a soulmate, and I was like, well, this doesn't actually satisfy me. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't feel like this is the love of my life and I want to spend my whole life with this person. And if I didn't like feel that satisfaction and that harmony inside of me with the person, then I was like, okay, I will stay alone. And that's okay, because maybe I was wrong. Like maybe true love is meant to be alone. Like maybe this is how I am, or I was still like exploring and trying out experiences to see like what was the truth. So until like one day, which was around the time that Andy started sharing like the story, I met with a friend who was actually my elementary school friend, which we got into spirituality together. And she was telling me, well, look, there are twin flames. Do you know about twin flames? And I was like, no, what is that? And then I entered the internet and I took every single page on the internet to try and find information that made sense for me about twin flames and what they were. And I was like, well, yeah, it's a soulmate, but it's the same consciousness. It's the same, they are you. They're not like another person. They don't leave. They are there. And I was like, well, yeah. Like I was thinking even now that my fake twin flame was my twin flame. Mm. And I was like, well, that means that the truth is real. Like what I felt all these years was real. And this friend of mine, meanwhile, was the friend that Andy said before that thought that Andy was her twin flame.
Wow.
Yeah. Then I was like, okay. I felt, and she used to talk to me about Andy all the time. She was like, well, he didn't reply to me, and then we got out and we had this thing and this happened and he blocked me. And I was like, well, I was seeing the truth there, but I wasn't anybody to tell her, because the twin flame experience, like it has to be, even if it's a fake twin, like nobody can tell you that, look, that's your fake twin flame. It has to be fully experienced and released. Yeah, self-discovered. And then like we used to go out all the time, like in this period of time with this friend. And then like we went out in that day, I believe. Yeah, it was that day. that Andy was on psychedelics, and I was there with this friend that thought that Andy was her twin flame. And we stood there and we like had fun and stuff. And then like she left because she got upset, like as Andy said. And my experience on the other side of the story, as Andy was sharing, it was that I was there because I felt deep in my heart that I had to be there. So I was like, well, I have to stay here. Like, this feels actually good. Like, I will explore this and go to the end of this and mm-hmm. see what the truth is about this.
Yeah, because an important detail here is that Nikki was a closer friend to the girl that thought that I was her twin flame, the one that left, mm-hmm. then she was a close friend to me or my friend, you know? Mm-hmm. And she stayed anyway and let her friend leave. Mm.
Right. Yeah, and like the whole time I was like, well, this guy is very weird. And I was like, there is something about him that I cannot label or put in a box or like just marginalize in my mind that this is this. And I was like, well, there must be something here. So I need to see what it is. And I just went full, like without even like doubting myself. I was like, well, just follow this. This is like the good feeling of the universe that mm-hmm. is giving to you right now. You have to go through this. And I was like, yeah, okay, new challenge. Okay. Yeah, like after this, as Andy said, we started like going out, we started to talk to each other. Andy started like to show me that actually he didn't have feelings for the girl that thought that Andy was her twin flame, but he saw her as a sister, mm-hmm. as a person that he cared for.
Yeah,
but she thought that was love. So it was a bit of misunderstanding and misperception of stuff because everybody was on a journey there and exploring and seeing.
Yeah, and yeah. I think this is a thing that happens with people, that when you love someone, they can misperceive it and take it romantically, mm-hmm. you know, when you are actually just loving them because you're loving them.
Yeah, you know? Because you're a caring person.
Yeah. And right. So that was the situation there.
Yeah. So after this, we started to go out more and more, and the fake twin flame of Andy was like, well, you did this to me and now you're going out with him. And I'm like, look, I knew that in my heart, like he was my twin flame. And after, and I'm going to show how it happened that we actually recognize each other. Yeah, we were like talking with each other, as Andy was saying, like in the museum, by the museum. And he said, and I told him that, look, we are actually the same. And I was like, well, I think that you are me. And I think that you're my twin flame.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, well, yeah, that's fine. That's cool. Mm-hmm. We're okay with that.
At that time, since we were like a lot into psychedelics and stuff, we were like really bypassing a lot of stuff spiritually. And we were mm-hmm. really laid back as people. And even though we shared that Nikki shared that we are twin flames, and it was very relaxing for us. It wasn't like something that overwhelmed us, and we started like
at that moment.
Okay, yeah. At that moment, yeah. And we were just cool, hippie kind of people. You know, mm-hmm. It was okay. We are like, twin flames. Oh, let's go.
Yeah, we're twin flames.
Yeah, it was like that. This is all a part before coming into the teachings of differentiality. Yeah. So because I want, do you have anything
else? Yeah, I want to end like the part with the fake thing.
Yeah.
Then like after we actually recognized each other, I was like, well, yeah, if I'm a twin flame and now we are staying together and everything, and like we completely, let's say, like we did cut off like most of our friendship like from before, because we saw that it was not supporting us like emotionally and spiritually, yeah. And also physically.
They were judgmental for our union.
Yeah, they were. Like they didn't want us to be together. And we were like, I was mainly like, nope, not gonna take that. I'm sorry. Like, this is my man. I found him. I don't care about anything else. Like, for real. Like, I can't accept people judging or being against me for the love that I actually deserve and that is created for me. Mm-hmm. And this is what I told actually to the fake twin flame of Andy, because I was like, I have to talk to you, because she was a very long friend of mine, like about 10 years of friendship or maybe more. And I met her and I was like, look, this is what is happening. This is what the truth is. And she was like, well, how do you know? Maybe you're wrong. I feel like he is my twin flame. And I was like, I'm sorry, but I know. Like, I wouldn't like take this risk if I didn't know in the depth of my heart that this is it. And I was ready and I did take out everything in my life that was against this union, like my union, because I've been searching for this my whole life since I was like very young. And this was like my main focus. And now that I have it, like, I'm not gonna just let people come and try to break it. Like, it didn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. So I had to make a choice, and I had to let go of my friendships and my friendship right there that was actually against me, because it revealed itself. And I had compassion because she was going through her own part of the story, her own journey about it. But yeah, she wasn't very happy. Let's say that. But I couldn't like fix her. I couldn't do anything. I just told her the truth, and I had to honor myself.
Mm-hmm. So you basically made the loving choices towards yourself, that and you claimed your union even more.
Yes. Yeah,
even though from outside there, let's say in other situations, there might have been attachments to, for example, 10 years of friendship with people, mm-hmm. and those kind of stuff, or for mm-hmm. example, family members, yeah. in some cases. But when you actually choose to be with who God created you to be, nothing can stop you. Mm-hmm. And fear can tell you that, okay, these bad things will happen, or these people will hurt you, or these people will come to revenge or something. But actually, when you walk in faith with God, everything opens up for your union, if you mm-hmm. really claim it and really seek it in your heart. But if you do it for other like agendas, just to get high of it or get something outside,
it doesn't work
like,
because
that
it's pure, and this is how you know it's divine, because it has power and mm-hmm. it has true power.
Okay. Do you want me to continue? Okay. So yeah, at that time I was skipping university, because I went to university there, obviously, as I mentioned. I was skipping university. I literally didn't care about university at all. At first I thought I did, but God was actually leading me to another country to meet her, because how I explained mm-hmm. that I manifested her and seeked her in my
life. Right. Just a disclaimer, like when we talk about God, we talk about source, we talk about the universe, whatever that anybody is comfortable with.
Yeah. Mm. That's what attracts love in your heart, in your life. I was skipping university, and at that time, Nikki was staying at the apartment I was sharing with these university people that I was, and sometimes it was getting really uncomfortable because.
We didn't have our own space.
We didn't have our own space, exactly. And this is a really key moment of our journey as well that led us to this teaching that we are in now, is that time we met our false spiritual teachers.
Yeah.
It was a friend of Nikki. She was a psychic. Her husband was a psychic as well, and her best friend was a psychic as well. They were three people that were psychics and didn't actually have anyone else. They were only only these three people. They didn't have any friends, anything. Yeah. And at that time, since we were not really spiritually developed and we were really high and really all over the place, really not grounded in that aspect.
We were also very young.
Yeah, it was our teen years.
Yeah.
Like 18, 19 at that time. We're now 23, by the way. That time ago. And at that time, we started to believe whatever they were
telling us.
Yeah. And
because we thought that they had like these gifts that they could help us with our union, and they could help us with twin flames in general, or with what the truth was, because as we were spiritual people, we were searching for the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought that, well, these people, they act and they portray themselves as they know stuff, but it was very clear that they did not, but we will go into that a bit later.
Yeah, they were psychics, and the way they were all putting themselves out there was really in a confident way and really in a logical way as well. So if you were not really mature spiritually, you kind of believe them, you know.
Mm-hmm, I see.
And it was all about exploration for us, to be honest, even though we were not consciously, hey, let's explore this, because we really believed that at the time. We really went into them, and they were like a part of our family. Like they were three people, and now we had this gang that we were five people hanging around all the time, mm-hmm. because they were like, okay, come to our gang now, we are together,
yeah,
and
we take care of you, we're good together, we go out in places, mm-hmm. we hang around each other and stuff like that.
And so what they were dealing with mainly, they were dealing with some kind of witchcraft.
Yeah, it was pretty dark.
Yeah, it was pretty dark, and it was really judgmental, and it was all focused on duality. It was not, it was like, okay, so there is bad and good in the world, and we have to fight the bad. That kind of mentality, you know, it wasn't that.
It was like war at the center, at the core.
Yeah, it was war, this protective, this
fearful,
defensive,
yeah.
fearful like energy.
We have like to dissociate from the world, like we can't like interact and
be social.
Yeah, and social, because da 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 da, all this bullshit.
Because,
I'm not gonna say the
because
word.
The what they were teaching basically was that
separation.
Something separation, yeah, but specifically that something from outside can hurt you and take your energy away. That's why they were teaching us to not be social and stuff, because people can leak your energy even if you don't want.
Somebody can choose in your life. That was the biggest lie that we learned from them.
Mm-hmm.
Like that something can choose in your reality. Like something can control you, which is not true.
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and it's funny now, because I have compassion for myself back then, because mm-hmm. I was exploring and I didn't know better. But when you think about it, it's very funny.
Yeah, it's completely insane. Yeah. Like, and to give a bit more insight on how our relationship was with each other at that time, it was really abusive.
Yeah, it was not nice.
It was really bad.
Like I left my parents' house to live with Andy,
mm-hmm.
and we got into an apartment that was the size of a room. And we lived together for about 6 months, and we were very scared. And this, like, when I see the truth there, it was that we didn't know how to navigate the journey.
Yeah.
And we took, like, the first thing that came to us, and we thought that it was true, and we thought that, oh, this is going to help us. But it was not, and it kept not helping us. It kept feeding us fear, and it kept us apart. And we started to be very angry at each other. We started being very, very
resentful.
Sad and resentful.
And in comparison to how we were in the beginning, you know, like we were all
loving,
passionately
passionate,
hanging around, good friends,
bubbly.
Now it was like the opposite of that after we met these false teachers. And I'm not saying that they did anything because it was our choice. We chose to have those beliefs, integrate those stuff that they were teaching us. It was our own choice.
Yeah, the whole time I had a feeling inside of me that, look, something is wrong here. Something is wrong here. Like, there must be something wrong here because it's not supposed to be like that.
Yeah,
and that's where we were like, in the end of that section of our journey that we lived there, I was like, I'm not going to talk to them anymore. Like, I don't care, because I think that because they thought that they had power over us, they could actually control us and keep us keep us feeling powerless. Mm-hmm. And then I started to see that they were actually very jealous of our union and jealous of us being twin flames and us being together, because both the girls there in this group, they were like, we know who our twin flame is, but we actually hate them. And I was like, how can you actually hate your twin flame? And that didn't make sense to me. And I was like, something clicked inside of me, inside of my heart. And I was like, well, you have to wake up. Like, this is not it. This is not normal.
And at some point, they were trying to separate me from Nikki. They were slowly but surely starting to, because we were a group of five people all together, they were starting to trying to get Nikki off the group. And they were more calling me to hang out and go out on trips with them. They were not calling Nikki anymore. So that was the moment that we started to realize that they were jealous of our union and didn't want us together. And they were really upset whenever Nikki came. It was not like they were more having fun, as it looked from the outside, like when I was there by myself than when we were as a union, you know.
So we saw that, and it was like the last red flags. Like, we had hundreds red flags in the meantime, but this was the last one. I was like, look, you know what, I will find out about everything myself, and I need to do this because I need life to reclaim my whole energy and move forward, because this is not okay. And the only thing that I knew at that time was that I'm not going to let Andy go, and I'm gonna stay with Andy, and that's it, because that was my home, let's say, like inside of my heart.
That's
yeah. Then after that, I think that you went back to Kosovo, and I was alone in our small room. And we separated, but we separated for health.
Yeah, we separated. We needed
space
because the relationship was
very tough.
Was very toxic. We couldn't be around each other. As Nikki said, we didn't know how to navigate our relationship. And
that's when we found Jeff and Shalia on YouTube. And I was like, I remember there was like a whole week that I was like just going from video to video, and from I was watching everything. I'd say, and I was like, this clicks, this feels grounded, this feels loving, this feels peaceful, this feels good, like this is truth, because it doesn't oppose anything in reality. Like, because I thought that, oh, spirituality, it means that you have to separate from your body, and at the same time being with your twin flame, it's a very grounding experience. So I didn't know how to do
both.
This part, yeah. And this is why in my reality, I manifested this big contrast, like that phase that we didn't know what to do with each other. Whew. And then we made a decision to separate momentarily, like in a small period of time, like for about 3 months. And I knew the first thing that I had to do was get the classes. That was when I knew, like, you found what you were searching for. These are your teachers. Mm-hmm. And it felt good. And it felt truth. And I was like, well, finally, I can trust again. And I can really believe in what I'm experiencing.
Mm-hmm. And for me, while I was in my home country, back there, I was praying to God to just better my life, just to find a way to be with Nikki, like in the beginning. The thing that I didn't know that there was even a healthier way than the beginning,
mm-hmm.
with the teachings of different Shalia. So I was like praying to God, and I was like, how, because I was really hurt inside. I was like, this relationship went to shit. And I didn't know that I was like, there was a solution. And I was like, always like seeking the same feeling that I was seeking also in my childhood, like just to have this life that I always dreamed of. And at that time, Nikki in another country found different Shalia.
Yeah. And I was like, I remember I emailed you and I was like, you have to check this couple out. They have what we actually want. They really have it. Their teaching is grounded and it felt good. And I also showed him something that I remember now, and it's fun. And I think that Jeff did that intentionally, obviously, but it was very relieving in my heart. And I remember there was like a video where they just got their new house, not the one where they are right now, but the previous one. Mm-hmm. And Jeff had a t-shirt which wrote, "We all can." And I was like, oh, wow, that's true. And I didn't thought that I could, you know, but that really gave me strength at that moment that I was so weak, let's say. I was feeling very vulnerable instead of weak, because I felt weaker before than that actual moment. That moment was when I was regaining my strength in my journey. And the first thing that I knew was, well, you have to get a job and you have to get the classes. And that was when the next week, right when I came back in my parents' house, I found a new job. And it was a job that was very fun and it was very relaxing. And I feel like right now I'm very grateful that I had that specific job, because it gave me space to process and space to ground and chill and also like learn. And just saying, I was like a bartender and a waiter in a restaurant, which was very, very nice. Let's say it was a nice vibe. Yeah. Now, this was the whole summer before we came back together, mm-hmm. With the teaching, because we bought the classes.
Mm-hmm.
And we started, like, we got a new house, which was the previous house from this that we have now. And we started to watch the classes, like, both of us. We started with one class pass. And, yeah, we felt like we started to really build our foundation from zero. We didn't have any clue. We were like, okay, we need to learn now.
Like, yeah, even financially, we were not in a really great place, like we are now, for example.
Yeah.
At the beginning, that's why it was like level from level. We started with one class pass and stuff, and that order. And I was going to say that I left the university. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I was really scared to tell my parents at that time, at that mm-hmm. summer when we were separated. And I was like telling my parents that I am going back to continue the next year of university when I actually left it. And but I was going to actually live with Nikki. And then I told them through online, through message. And I was really scared. And at that time, like, I remember the feeling how grateful I am. I was at the time for God, because when I messaged them, they were like, whatever you want to do with your life, they were accepting and they were really loving.
They do support us. They really support us.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, I didn't expect this, because it was like really an emotional moment.
Fear, like a fear based.
Yeah, I was expecting to be controlled, because that's how I lived my life for a very long time, you know. Right. And it was that fear that I will lose this. And after they told me that whatever you want to do with your life, you can, we support you. It was very loving to hear. Right. And that was like a really strong push, not from outside, but like emotionally, like really supportive. I felt really supportive just to go really deep in my journey with Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be good now to let Dennis maybe ask some questions.
It's all good, you know. You actually, I enjoyed listening to you very much. Like, you, it was so beautiful to just see the entire trajectory of your journey, and you actually answered all of the questions I had, like, without me having to ask them. So it was perfect. What I'm wondering now, because you mentioned, like, now you've at this point in your journey, you found the teachings of union. So what changed in your union with the teachings of union?
Everything. 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 Like, we are closer to each other. We don't have resentment. We feel like so much. And it's like doing the mirror exercise, which is taught by Jeff and Shalia in their book, Twin Flames, Finding Your Ultimate Lover, is like our lifestyle. Like, we do it all the time, and it really heals and adds more depth and love and peace to our union. And it just grows us. Mm-hmm. That's the thing, and we're very grateful.
Mm-hmm. And just to be honest, like, with the viewers and listeners here, is that it's the ascension journey always will challenge you, and you will experience difficult moments, but the reason that you are experiencing them is because you're calling in healing, where you are separated from your source and from your good.
Yeah.
And that's why you experience that contest, so you can purify, transcend it, heal it completely, so you can go to the next level.
Yeah.
And it Shalia says as well that as you heal, it gets better after some time.
It gets
easier and like really lighter.
That's how we're feeling right now. It's like the more that we heal with this teaching, the easier it's getting, and the more joyful and the more peaceful and the more easy, like, emotionally, and the situations in our lives are changing. Like, we transcended jobs, we transcended places that we lived in, we transcended.
Yeah.
We're getting like promotions, we're getting higher vibration situations, and also in our union it feels more clearer, and there is so much love,
and we're getting deeper into our life purpose as well.
Yeah, that's where we're focusing right now, actually.
Yeah. So, because the thing here is that we never couldn't do all these things alone. There is no chance
to be done alone.
We feel really grateful that we have the support of Jeff and Shalia and the community, like all the people that know nothing but unconditional love, and that support, like, is really helpful. Like,
yeah,
Nikki was talking
about, it's
priceless. I don't know what to say, because I just feel grateful.
Yeah.
it feels like
it just completely changed our life and our dynamic in the union. and how we saw the universe and how we see the world. Like, the world is not out there to get us or hurt us, because that's not the nature of nature itself. Going back to the beginning of my journey, where I saw that, look, nature is very loving and has this harmony, but it's supposed to be the same with people. And that's what Jeff and Shalia actually showed, that there is harmony and there is love. There is, and love is all there that there actually is. Only love exists. So,
and it never fails.
Yeah.
Amen. So yeah, one sentence that you mentioned, I remember that, was that, you know, when you found your four spiritual teachers, you mentioned that you were just looking for something to navigate a journey.
Yeah.
And I just want to highlight that, because that's such a vital piece to also what Jeff and Shia provide. And I feel your story is really a perfect and beautiful example for that you came together as twin flames. You even recognized your twin flames, but you were like lacking the tools and means to navigate what comes up in your relationship. And that's really what Jeff and Shia gave you, like a way to navigate your spiritual journey.
Yep. And that's like also something like to mention, we transcended that spiritual teaching mentality that we thought that, oh, the spiritual teacher has to, I don't know, at that moment I felt like, well, I have to believe everything that somebody tells me that might know something more. But I had to navigate it myself and know, look, is this actually working in my life? Like, is this actually giving me something? And at that moment, with those spiritual teachers, I came to the understanding and reality that, look, they are not giving me anything. They're actually parting me from my twin flame. And after that, I started watching videos online, like with card readers or people that portray themselves as they know things about twin flames, but there was still, and they knew, but they were like, they didn't have like the key, let's say, like they didn't have it handled, they didn't have it grounded, they didn't have it, look, this is how you do it, and it's like a systematic way that you can actually follow and you get the results. And this is what we found with Jeff and Shalia, that this systematic way, this, like, you have the classes, you can learn from the courses, you can learn from the book, you can go back to them. And anytime that you feel like you need a piece, and you find that piece, and you can put it in your life, and you see that you have results. This is like, we went from completely having fake twin flame teachers that actually wanted us not to be together, to also fake twin flame teachers, which didn't have what they were saying that they did, and what they told people to do. Like, they didn't have like the end result, to having Jeff and Shalia, which actually give you results.
That's what I was actually going to say, is that there is a lot of twin flame information out there, like tons of, lots of, like, theoretically, and like, there is a lot of information, like, people know about how the universe functions a lot. There is a lot of knowledge. But what separates Jeff and Shalia from the rest is that Jeff and Shalia teach you how to have actual results in your life, and how to take action and really heal yourself.
How to navigate everything, every endeavor of your life.
Not just know, because knowing is okay, but without putting the action of that,
nothing is going to change. Like, it's just awareness, just knowledge. But you have to do something with awareness and knowledge for things to actually shift.
I love that. I remember when I found Jeff and Shalia, that was also the thing that really hooked me, because I was like, all these other people like share information, but I wasn't finding any place where I could find like information on what to actually do,
right,
and how to work the process and how to actually make change happen.
Yeah.
Jeff and Shia really, like, that's all they do. They give you the knowledge, obviously, and the information, but just for the means of you putting it into practice and really mm-hmm. living that information.
Yep.
Beautiful. So I have two last questions for you. And one would be with this experience that you've had of having false spiritual teachers first and then finding Jeff and Julie as your true spiritual teachers, generally speaking, what would you say, how can you recognize whether someone is a true spiritual teacher?
Well, first, you know, in your heart. And second, you apply what they are saying and you see, like, are you getting results or not? Are they temporary or are they like, do they stay there? Like, do you feel a shift inside of you? Do you feel like you're changing? Or is it just like a temporary thing that satisfies you for a little bit and then like you go back to the old patterns, like where you were before?
Mm-hmm.
Because like healing spiritually with the teaching of Jeff and Shalia actually transcends your life. It's like an ascension journey. Like you actually vibrate up and everything changes. Like you don't go back. It's not that it's just a temporary thing that you get and then like you feel good for some time and then like you're back like to the previous stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's eternal. It bases on reality and truth. It's eternal because when you actually put those things in action, when you transcend stuff and get results in your life, it's like you want to do it more. Mm-hmm. And
it feels good
and you actually feel better and you feel you become a more loving person.
Yeah.
And it's like you literally start purifying your consciousness and getting closer to your higher self and to your divine self and basically the ascension. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what I would say is just like really analyze, really see what are they saying, like what are they showing, do they have what they claim to have, do they have what they are trying to tell you to do. Like you have to go through the journey, like
mm-hmm.
you can't just look at something and judge it and without actually going through it yourself to find out what the truth is. This mm-hmm. is what I would say.
Thank you very much. It's such an important piece and I'm very happy that you put it this perfectly for our listeners. So my last question for you is something a bit again related to your journey. And so if you could go back to the very beginning of your journey and give that version of yourself a message or a piece of guidance, what would that be?
Take it easy. Be careful with yourself and love yourself and
have faith
and trust yourself, trust your intuition, because this was a big part for us, like with the fake twin flame teachers,
mm-hmm.
mostly because we were not having faith in our own intuition inside that was telling us like, look, there is something wrong here, like you have to divide yourself from this situation, like it's not healthy. And if like your insight tells you like something is wrong, you have to trust it because it's actually the voice of the universe telling you, look, there's something wrong here, just take action, do something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the teachings of Jeff and Shalia completely have changed my life and keep changing it from day to day. It's like a day-to-day work, it never stops, but it gets better and better, and I want to go deeper into it more and more mm-hmm. than when I do it. It's because I feel closer to God, you know. And
mm-hmm.
when I mean I feel closer to God, it's not a cliche thing to say, but it's actually I get closer to everything, to my twin flame, to people. I manifest positivity, goodness in my life. And everything just feels better. And I'm really like grateful. I'm really grateful for the teachings of Jeff and Shalia.
What was the the advice that you are going to give yourself in the beginning of the journey?
Yeah, have faith. Have faith and have also compassion for yourself.
Yeah, that's
very important. Well, thank you two very much. We've come to the end of our time today, but it was an absolute joy to really listen to you.
Thank you.
Really, really nice. And thank you for being my guest for today.
Thank you for having us. We had a lot of fun. Yeah. And
it feels
very good.
It feels great to share our journey.
It actually helped us as well, grounding it and really seeing how far we've come. So we're very grateful for this podcast.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, I'm very glad to hear that. And again, thank you for being here. And at the end, I want to also thank all of our listeners for listening. And if you want to hear Twin Flame Separation for good too and live a peaceful and beautiful life with your twin flame as Anya and Nikki have shown us is possible, then I invite all of you to go over to twinflamesuniverse.com and check out all of the products we have. And there's also a free introduction course that I absolutely love that really introduces you to twin flames and the dynamic and how to really navigate this journey. And it's really a great starting point. And that's, you can sign up for that on the website as well. So definitely do that. And otherwise, I wish all of you a wonderful journey and many blessings, and we will see you next time.